reporters speaking into a camera.
And Nicole, good evening. The first of 4 days of pre-trial motion hearings.
The prosecution wants to call about a dozen women at trial. They also allege Cosby drugged and assaulted them.
They will say that Bill Cosby has used his fame and fortune to, quote, cover up his crimes.
Bill Cosby, one of the greatest American entertainers of the last 50 years, is due to stand trial, accused of sexual assault.
Hurry up, I want to take a picture.
Cosby is an American icon, a brilliant comedian who broke down racial barriers on American television.
Now all of you, get out!
And with The Cosby Show, a sitcom about a black middle-class family, created one of the most successful TV shows of all time.
He was a great role model, a great father, a great husband, a great entertainer.
He was revered, even.
People loved him. He was America's dad.
Cosby was God.
Cosby is standing trial for a single case of sexual assault, but dozens of other women have claimed he attacked them too. His alleged victims say he is a serial rapist who hid behind a brilliant public persona.
What happened to me? He drugged me, raped me, and then he threatened serious consequences to my life.
For half a century, Bill Cosby's reputation has remained untarnished. Until now.
It's misogyny, it's power, it's the great wealth machine of Hollywood that keeps people silent.
An aging Cosby walking into the courthouse. Bill Cosby, Fall of an American Icon, narrated by Tandy Newton. Los Angeles, 1969. Driving along a road at night.
This is Hollywood, the most famous and most glamorous place in the world. It's a place of dreams, hopes, and riches. Let's go Hollywood backstage and see this unique and fascinating place called Hollywood.
Victoria Valentino.
All of these comedians used to play the Playboy Club circuit. So all of us bunnies kind of knew them as buddies. They were sort of the casual, we all go after work and go eat breakfast or something, you know, on the strip. And so my girlfriend said, hey, I know Bill Cosby. I can hook you up and maybe you can get an audition.
Aspiring actor Victoria Valentino was 25 when her friend introduced her to Bill Cosby, one of Hollywood's biggest stars.
Colored lights.
She called him, and then he sent a car over to my grandmother's house in West Hollywood to pick us up. And so we went to dinner at this steak restaurant on the strip called Sneaky Pete's. It was next to the Whiskey A Go-Go. And pretty soon he put a pill down next to my glass and he said, here, take this, it'll make you feel better. I went, oh, yeah, great. You know, I'll take it. I'll feel better. And I took it.
Flashing neon signs.
Pretty soon I was feeling nauseated. I was getting spinners and I was feeling like I couldn't keep my head out of my plate. And I wanted to go home. So he said, okay, take you home.
Cars driving along the strip at night.
Instead of turning right to go down onto the strip, he went uphill. And suddenly we're winding around and I'm in the back seat doing everything I can not to throw up in the big star's car and humiliate us all and ruin any possible chances of us ever getting an acting part on his show.
A car window at night.
And then all of a sudden the car stopped and everything got very silent. And I opened my eyes and we're in front of some, it was like a townhouse. There were two love seats. And my girlfriend, here she is, passed out, lying there, completely gone. And he's sitting right next to her on the love seat, and he's looking down at her like this. And the intensity of the look, I mean, it communicated everything. I knew what he had on his mind. I knew. He got up and he came over to me. And then the next thing I knew, I was on my knees and he was sitting on the love seat opening his fly. And I was orally raped. And then he stood me up and turned me over backwards and did me doggy style. And then he walked out. And as he was getting to the door, I said, how are we gonna get home? And he didn't even look at me. He just said, call a cab. And he slammed out the door.
A car drives past on a darkened road.
Victoria chose not to report what she alleges happened to her that night. A silence that lasted decades.
This was 1969. You know, I was a playmate. I had been married to a black man. I was an old hippie. You know, I was a bunny. The last people we would ever have thought to go to would be the police. Never crossed my mind.
A photo of a young Victoria in a blue play bunny outfit. Now black and white film of the Jack Parr program by Dolphin Enterprises. A young Bill Cosby comes on stage.
Bill Cosby first exploded onto the comedy scene in the early 1960s with appearances on shows such as the Jack Parr program.
Wait a minute! Are you crazy?
Raised in the poor suburbs of Philadelphia, the son of a maid and an alcoholic father, Cosby was one of the first black comedians to appeal to mainstream white America.
I put a spell on you.
James Ponuwazik.
He was simply a great, engaging storyteller on the stage. Technically brilliant as a comedian, somebody who didn't simply stand up and tell jokes, but really spun stories.
A young Cosby moving animatedly on stage. Now black and white film of a march against racism.
Coming up at a time when America was going through the civil rights movement, when there was a lot of conflict around race, it was a big deal for, you know, a broad multiracial audience to establish this bond with Bill Cosby.
Cosby runs off stage. Now the titles to I Spy by 3F Productions.
Cosby's big acting break came in 1965 when, age 28, he was asked to star in a new TV show, I Spy. Playing a tennis coach who was also an undercover spy, Cosby became the first African-American actor to star in a mainstream network drama.
You will hear black people talk about back in the day when they would call everyone to the television if someone black came on. And a lot of people go, oh, you just exaggerate. No, it's not an exaggeration. That's how it was in my household, everybody I knew.
Hello, sir. Now!
Lynn Normant.
I was a little kid, really, growing up in Tennessee, and it was so wonderful to see an African American on television on a regular basis and in a show like that.
Watch this now. What's that for? I've got an idea.
There's no other black, cool, secret agents running around. Where? Bill was smooth, good looking, you know, strapping. He was something that I think a lot of young black men aspired to. And I know for my generation who came into the business, these were the people we looked up to. These were the people that opened the doors for us, kicked them open, really.
I Spy earned Cosby 3 consecutive Emmys for Outstanding Lead Actor. The TV shows were followed in the 1970s by leading parts in hit Hollywood movies, such as California Suite, in which he starred with Richard Pryor.
Well, I knew him through my husband, Richard Pryor, and Richard had mad respect for him. Basically, he idolized Bill. He had made it, and the black man making it in America is a big deal. And certainly in the comedic world, there you have it. I mean, how many black comics were there at the time? He had really arrived. I mean, film, television, concerts. My God, you didn't get bigger than Bill. He was everywhere.
Color film from Bill Cosby himself.
In his 1983 concert film, Himself, Cosby's ability to enthrall audiences with his storytelling cemented his status as the king of stand-up.
See, when you're a father, you censor yourself. So what the? Get your... I'll put a... Get out of my face!
The Statue of Liberty, then the skyscrapers of New York.
The following year, the now 47-year-old Cosby created the show which would challenge attitudes to race in America and turn him into a national icon. From its opening titles, The Cosby Show depicted a middle-class black family. It became one of the biggest television hits of all time.
There was nothing else on television like The Cosby Show at the time. I was a guest during the second season, and I believe that the show I was on pulled a 51 share. Over half of the television sets that were turned on at that time in America were turned on watching The Cosby Show. No show is going to pull those kind of numbers ever again.
Listen, let's put on some music around here.
Cosby played an obstetrician, Cliff Huxtable, married to a successful lawyer, Claire, played by Felicia Rashad.
Cosby dances over to the table.
The show was based on his family. Not only did he have five kids on the show, in real life, he and Camille Cosby had five children.
Hurry up, I want to take a picture. Oh, people look so good.
Family was number one to Bill Cosby. And, of course, that is why he created The Cosby Show.
Ah, all right. Now, this is something I will cherish the rest of my life. Now, all of you, get out.
In many ways, Cliff Huxtable was a surrogate Bill Cosby. He had Bill Cosby's sense of humor. He had his mannerisms. He had his way of talking.
I am your father. I brought you in this world, and I'll take you out.
Robert Huber, Philadelphia Magazine.
Cliff Huxtable and Bill Cosby, in the minds of many of us, and for me, were pretty much one and the same. How can you play that guy so convincingly and so well and be so sweet and be so wonderful and not be that guy? You are that guy.
The Cosby Show's portrayal of three generations of a stable and loving black family was unique in 80s America.
Lily Bernard.
It was challenging that notion of blackness with wrongness because the media has perpetuated a negative image of the black person. And when we see them in the media, it's a person on the ground, face down, handcuffed.
The Huxtable family dancing on The Cosby Show.
The Cosby Show was a vehicle by which now America could see what a black family really is like.
James Poniewozik, Chief TV Critic, New York Times.
People didn't just like The Cosby Show. They liked liking The Cosby Show, right? Like it was recognized as a social good that people of all stripes and backgrounds and colors could identify with this family and have this family be their favorite family on television.
Rebecca Traister, New York Magazine.
It offered white viewers a chance to feel good about things that they don't often get to feel good about. Part of the message and the balm that it offered to white America was that racial tension was a thing of the past. We're all alike here. There's no racial difference and there's no lingering racial resentment. We've come to some televised version of a promised land.
For five of its eight seasons, The Cosby Show was the top-rated show on American television. It turned Cosby into one of Hollywood's wealthiest and most powerful stars.
It made us feel proud that this successful show was created by an African-American, owned by an African-American, who produced it as well as starred on it. To have someone who had all of this power, all of this money, and fame was very significant, very, very powerful.
There are layers of celebrity. There's celebrity, you know, you're in a few movies and you're kind of a celebrity. There's celebrity by proxy, which is kind of what I am. I'm married to a celebrity, you know. And there's layers. And then you get to this mountain, this Mount Everest of celebrity, which is what Bill was. He had everything. Bill was a giant in the business. And he was making a lot of money for a lot of people, too.
Jennifer Lee Pryor, The Skyscrapers of New York.
The show was filmed in New York at the Kaufman Astoria Studios in Queens. In the early 90s, Cosby invited a young actor, Lily Bernard, to spend time at the studios. He was mentoring her until she was ready for a part on the show.
Bill Cosby introduced me to the producers and to the writers and to the crew and to the cast and told them that we would be, you know, making a role for Lily Bernard. She's going to be on the show. So he had me in there to observe, and he was very academic about it. It's as if he were a professor and I was his student, and I had to learn so that when it was my turn to do the role, I would be prepared. And that was also exciting, that he cared about my craft. And that was exciting to me, to be an artist, and he cared, and he wants to help hone my skills. It was just phenomenal.
Lily often visited the Cosby Studios, spending time backstage as Cosby's guest.
I was used to being on a set where the whole crew is white, where it's very, very hard to find, you know, a raisin in the bowl of oatmeal. You just don't see that. Now here I'm on a soundstage where most of the people are black. It was like, wow, that was phenomenal. Now I get to be a part of that. You know, I get to be a part of history. For me, being on The Cosby Show was like getting to be a part of history, history that changed, you know, changed the perception of blackness in the world.
What did the name Bill Cosby mean to you?
It meant a great force who lifted the black male image and the black family image. It meant someone who made me proud of being black. It meant advancement. And it also meant paternity. He was America's dad.
The Cosby Family, on the cover of Ebony magazine.
In Hollywood, we all knew that he was a serial cheater. Everybody knew that. That was nothing new. You've got this image, this perfect wife, this perfect life, this perfect career, and you're a serial cheater. So, I mean, a serial cheater.
There was just kind of the knowledge that he liked women. On the set, it was the parade. That's what we refer to it as. They would come in threes and fours. And, you know, I guess they were auditioning. I don't know that any of them actually got parts. And he liked, it seemed a very particular, you know, He had a look that he liked. Lighter skin, longer hair.
He had this obsession with straight hair, right? He bought this blow dryer for me. And often when he mentored me, he told me to first straighten my hair because he wanted to see what I would look like with straight hair in my role. And he wanted slick back, slick back, slick back, like a ballerina.
Lily Bernard has a curly afro.
After a year of mentoring, Lily Bernard was still waiting for her long-promised part on the show. One day, Cosby asked her to come to meet a film producer with him.
We were in New York, and he told me that I had to go to Atlantic City, New Jersey, to meet a producer who would further my career.
Neon Signs.
So before going there, he talked to me about this new hotel called the Trump Taj Mahal Hotel.
Traffic on a busy strip.
Car came for me. It took me to the hotel.
A bright sign for the Trump Taj Mahal.
I get taken upstairs to this gigantic suite.
A nighttime view from a hotel window.
And so he gives me this drink, you know, and it's brown. And he's like, drink it, Bernard, drink it, you know, Bernard. And so he actually takes the glass and lifts it up and pushes it to my face with this kind of exciting energy, you know. And I'm like, Mr. C, I told you, I don't drink alcohol. What is this? And I was like, he's like, drink, drink, drink. And I was like, okay, you know, whatever he, you know, I'm just like obeying daddy, basically, because he's like used to say, daddy's here, you know, daddy's here. Then very shortly, you know, very shortly, I started getting a sick sensation. The next memory I have is now I'm in a living room area, and it's carpet underneath my back. And I remember opening my eyes and seeing brown, you know, it was definitely Bill Cosby. As he was thrusting upon me, my back was going like against the grain of the rug, and I just remember the burning sensation on the back and my shoulder. I remember heaviness. Again, I couldn't move. I'm like, you know, like feeling like lead, very, very heavy, as if I were paralyzed. So I feel like a stick inside of my body. That's what it feels like, a stick. And I said stick because, again, is like the last thing I could ever imagine was that Bill Cosby was raping me. Can you believe that my trust for him as my father figure was so great? I trusted him so much I couldn't make that connection that he could possibly do that.
A sign saying, welcome to Atlantic City.
Hello?
Soon after this alleged incident, Lily finally got to play her long-promised part on The Cosby Show.
Now, when the contractions reach 8 minutes apart, that's when you call me. Now, what did I just say?
Call you every 8 minutes.
She's playing a heavily pregnant woman.
It was to be her only appearance.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I guess I'm off.
Yes, more ways than one. Bye-bye.
She thought of reporting her allegation, but says Cosby persuaded her otherwise.
When I told him that I would go to the police station, he told me that he would file a police report against me for false accusation and defamation. And that, you know what you get for a false accusation, Bernard? You get your ass in jail. That's what you get, Bernard. And he's like, you and I are through, Bernard. He said, we're through. I don't ever want to see your face again. You don't exist. You are dead. Do you hear me, Bernard? You are dead. I will erase you. Do you hear me? Are you listening? Are you listening, Bernard? I will erase you. He was like my dad, you know? He was my dad, and he made it very clear that I was one of his kids. That's one thing he always used to say to me, you're one of my kids, Bernard, you're one of my kids.
Yellow school buses.
After 8 hit seasons, The Cosby Show ended in 1992. Cosby continued producing TV shows throughout the 90s, though none had the success of The Cosby Show. But his reputation off-screen continued to grow, as he used his fame to promote the education of African Americans.
Well, this is a hip hometown.
Cosby handed out checks for millions of dollars to black colleges around America.
He looked at it for a while, and then he said something, I think it was in Latin. You know, like, damn.
Bill Cosby and Camille Cosby were just phenomenal, incredible when it came to giving back. They were great philanthropists. He had such a well-rounded reputation. I mean, how could one man do so much and be so perfect in so many areas? You know, it was like that.
Traffic on the busy New York streets.
Cosby was growing increasingly concerned about the fate of Black America. On May the 17th, 2004, he gave a now infamous speech about the problems he believed plagued the African American poor.
These are not political criminals. These are people going around stealing Coca-Cola. People getting shot in the back of the head over a piece of pound cake. And then we all run out and we're outraged. Oh, the cop shouldn't have shot him. What the hell was he doing with the pound cake in his hand?
Cosby crisscrossed the country telling African Americans to change their ways.
Protect your child. The kid could be busted tonight.
It's cursing and it's calling each other niggas as they walk up and down the street. They think they're hip. They can't read, they can't write.
Bill was going around the country, mostly to urban America, and talking tough to inner city, mostly black men about getting an education and not using drugs and pulling their pants up, not wearing them low.
70% of teenage pregnancy, African American female teenage girls.
He really directed so much ire at women for being bad mothers, unfaithful partners, sexually promiscuous, not around for their kids, not working. For having been the opposite of everything that he had presented Claire Huxtable as being.
I'm tired of this. I'm very, very tired.
Some of the things I related to and I understood where he was coming from, but he began to go on and on about things that made me kind of like, cringe as a black woman. And I had wished there were things that he had not said, but who can control Cosby?
Lynn Normand, former editor of Ebony magazine.
The now 67-year-old Cosby was about to suffer the first blow to his formidable reputation. Major news networks reported that a woman had come forward with a serious accusation against him.
Police in suburban Philadelphia are investigating entertainer Bill Cosby.
A family friend accuses the comedian of fondling her. It's a charge he strongly denies.
A sprawling house set amongst trees.
The woman alleged the sexual assault had taken place at Cosby's home outside Philadelphia.
The criminal suit involved one woman against a big star, and we didn't even know her name, quite frankly. We knew some brief sketches, details about her life. In other words, she met him through Temple University. You know, she now lived in Canada. She came forward a year later, things like that. I'm not sure how much we really knew about even what degree of sexual assault she was alleging at the time.
The woman reported the alleged attack, but prosecutors decided to take no further action.
So the complaint gets filed. There's an investigation. Bill Cosby ultimately is not charged. And the district attorney explained why. He said it's something of a he said, she said case. I don't have enough evidence. He kind of went one step further and said that there's things on both sides that make it a difficult case, that there's things that weigh against her, there's things that weigh against him. But in the end of the day, he did not feel that he could, you know, get probable cause and win a conviction.
But Cosby's problems didn't end there. Having failed to have him charged, the woman now sued him for damages. No longer protected by anonymity, she was revealed as 30-year-old former university sports administrator, Andrea Constant.
Mary Claire Dale, legal affairs reporter, The Associated Press.
So some months after the prosecutor decides not to charge Bill Cosby, the woman files a civil sexual battery suit. Sexual battery and defamation for the fact that he and his agents had basically said, I didn't do it, she's lying.
A city bridge at night.
Hearing about the civil suit against Cosby, 13 women now approached Constance's lawyers to say that they too had been raped or sexually assaulted by him. Most remained anonymous. Beth Ferrier, a former model, went public.
I wanted to support Andre Constant. I wanted to not allow him to blackball her and hurt her like he'd hurt me. I wanted to stop it. I wanted to stop him.
Beth had previously been in a consensual sexual relationship with Cosby. She alleged that after their relationship ended in 1985, Cosby invited her backstage before his concert in Denver and sexually assaulted her.
I was raped. I was drugged. Yes, I was. I ended up waking up 2-3 in the morning, dumped in the back of my car with my clothes all off and on, and whatever he gave me was enough to make you be like tranquilized, but I could move, but it's dark alley, I was like disposed of like trash. My thought was, did they take pictures of me? You know, what really happened? And not having that knowledge is very, it's terrible. And it leaves you, I was so young.
A photo of a young Beth Ferrier.
None of the 13 women now accusing Cosby had gone to the police at the time of their alleged attacks.
Would you call the police on Bill Cosby? I mean, the whole question was, I didn't think I could, there was never that thought.
During Andrea Constant's lawsuit, Cosby was forced to give 4 days of evidence in a private hearing at a Philadelphia hotel. The testimony was confidential. In November 2006, Cosby reached a settlement with Andrea Constant. Its terms and Cosby's testimony were kept secret.
So the case settles and we don't have a lot of details. We can't see what was said and what was not said and what was denied. And we don't know the amount. We don't know who was held credible. We really don't know if she got a dollar. We wrote about it, and I think to some degree we went on our merry way. At least I did.
Most of the media now moved on from the allegations against Cosby. In Philadelphia, one journalist felt it was still a story worth investigating.
It just struck me in a commonsensical way. If there are so many women claiming that the same thing happened to them, I, as a journalist, need to look at it. I mean, that's a lot of women claiming something really bad had happened to them, literally at the hands of Bill Cosby. What is up with that? Is there something to it? I got to a fundamental question, which was, is he trying to save Black America, struggling Black America, as a bet against these accusations? Is the presentation of Dr. Huxtable and other public comedic presentations of Cosby, is that a hedge against perhaps private behavior that is very different from that?
Robert Huber was the first journalist to write a major piece about the allegations now circling around Cosby.
An article entitled, The Story That Beth Ferrier Tells.
I thought it would be picked up by other media, that it would be talked about, that the dynamic of who Bill Cosby was in the public consciousness would utterly and immediately change. Well, as we know, it didn't. The media was essentially silent. It seemed like such a fundamental and important story. How could it not be chased? How could it not be pursued?
America did not want to know that Bill Cosby was being accused of these horrific crimes. He'd created a world that had been so powerful for so many Americans, and especially for white Americans, who did not want to have to contemplate that the image of racial relations that they bought into in loving The Cosby Show and loving Bill Cosby might have been built on a set of dreadful lies.
Rebecca Traister. Now footage from the Mark Twain Prize, Bill Cosby, by Weta Productions.
Tonight, direct from our nation's capital, it's the 12th annual Kennedy Center Mark Twain Prize for American Humor, celebrating a national treasure, the great Bill Cosby.
The audience are on their feet applauding.
In 2009, in a major televised event, Cosby was honored for his outstanding contribution to American comedy.
I want to say this man's one of the, without a doubt, one of the biggest influences ever in my life.
Neither Cosby nor the celebrities present gave any hint of the fact that 13 women had been prepared to testify that he had drugged and raped them. His reputation remained untarnished.
Even though we are here tonight to honor him, I must also say how honored I feel that tonight I am somehow standing here with the opportunity to publicly thank him for all he has meant to me.
Jerry Seinfeld looks over at Bill. Victoria Valentino.
It griped my ass. I hated it. It twisted my gut. All of his accolades, every time I heard, my stomach would twist. Because I knew who he really was.
Bill Cosby shakes a man's hand on stage, then steps forward to speak.
It just thoroughly disgusted me. He just continued to be famous while we all just went back into the woodwork. We're just in the shadows.
Hit it, Spinner!
By 2013, the now 76-year-old Cosby was as busy and popular as ever, appearing on national talk shows before adoring fans and presenters.
Bill Cosby, everybody!
You are nothing if not intelligent, worldly, intuitive, wildly smart.
He was planning a new tour, a comedy special with Netflix, and was about to star in a new sitcom with NBC. But all that was about to change.
Philadelphia, October the 16th, 2014.
Bill Cosby has the fucking smuggest old black male public persona that I hate.
Stand-up comedian Hannibal Buress made a joke about Bill Cosby and rape. Sitting in the audience was a Philadelphia magazine journalist.
I like to think I'm pretty good at knowing when something needs to be filmed for a story. And as soon as he said Cosby, something clicked in my head and I was like, newsworthy, let's start filming.
Pull your pants up, black people. I was on TV in the 80s. I can talk down to you because I had a successful sitcom. Yeah, it was great women, Bill Cosby, so.
I wrote the thing in the morning, and I don't think it got posted until late in the day. I believe it was BuzzFeed picked up on it. Once a site of that size picked up on it, it was all over. Suddenly, you know, every site had written about it.
Hannibal says, "You leave here and Google Bill Cosby rape. It's not funny. That shit has more results than Hannibal Buress."
Hannibal when he said that, and the grainy kind of shitty video, crappy video that he was taking at that show, he was pissed. He said, "Don't you lecture me. I don't want to hear it. You're a rapist." Bow! It caught fire. That was it. That was the fire. That was the match.
Jennifer Lee Pryor.
My feeling was, oh my God, here it is. And where were you 10 years ago? Media and people talking about it.
Hannibal Buress was referring to allegations first made 10 years earlier. This time, America listened.
Buress was the tipping point. He was the one, because you have a black man saying to another black man, "Don't lecture us anymore. We don't like it. Pull your pants up." It was a brother accusing a brother.
That is more believable than it would be if Hannibal had been a white man. Then the black community would have cried racism.
There was a certain safety in, well, if a black man is saying this so directly, maybe it's something we can look at, we being media and white people collectively. Maybe there's something to it, a safety in him starting it.
I have to ask about your name coming up in the news recently regarding this comedian.
No, we don't answer that.
3 weeks after the Buress video first appeared, Cosby did an interview about a donation he was making to a museum.
Can I ask you, if with the persona that people know about Bill Cosby, should they believe anything differently about what?
There is no comment about that.
Thank you. Now,
can I get something from you?
What's that?
That none of that will be shown.
You didn't say anything?
I know I didn't say anything.
I will tell that to my editors, and I think that they will understand.
Well, I think if you want to consider yourself to be serious, that it will not appear anywhere.
Okay. Victoria Valentino's driving her car.
In Los Angeles, the furore surrounding the Hannibal Buress video reached Victoria Valentino. She had kept her story secret for 45 years.
It hit me. It was like this little red rocket went off from my gut and exploded in my brain. I was so pissed off. It was like a comedian, a man, a black man as it turns out, but a man was suddenly believed, and a woman was not believed. But I knew I had to speak up at that point. It was time.
You allege that Bill Cosby drugged you and then sexually assaulted you.
Yes, he drugged me and my roommate, who he had eyes for. It was absolutely liberating. It was incredible to actually get it out, to be heard, to be validated, to be listened to as if I were, you know, an intelligent person.
Victoria driving her car.
And the drumbeat continues. Two more women have come forward with allegations of sexual assault by Bill Cosby.
Victoria joined a growing number of women now making new accusations against Cosby, spanning the past 50 years. Many of the women contacted America's best-known women's rights lawyer, Gloria Allred.
Women then started calling me and sharing with me their accusations against Mr. Cosby. Of course, supporters of Mr. Cosby, who love the fantasy that he is what you see on television as Dr. Huxtable, they're going to be disturbed because it does interrupt the fantasy. But I'm here about the reality, I'm not here about the fantasy.
A press conference.
Gloria Allred now put Cosby's accusers before the world's media,
to tell their stories.
Hello and thank you. My name is Beth Ferrier. This is my statement. I believe that Mr. Cosby drugged me and sexually assaulted me that night.
I was able to look at all of those people around the room and tell them, I'm telling you the truth. This is who this person really is.
Gloria Allred comforts Beth.
And then more and more contacted me, and then more and more.
He approached me from behind and reached over my shoulder and grabbed my right wrist.
It was like, wow. It was like the wave, you know? The truth was finally coming out.
A reputation carefully built over 50 years was finally beginning to unravel. News bulletins reported how attitudes towards Cosby were changing.
NBC ditches its plan to bring Bill Cosby back to prime time. The decision comes a day after Netflix announced that it postponed a stand-up comedy special featuring Cosby.
The rape allegations were now the subject of jokes on national television.
This guy has put more people to sleep than warm milk.
Cosby admitted to a reporter, I put the pills in the people. The people did not want the pills in them.
But not everyone abandoned Cosby.
Actor Joseph C. Phillips.
It's a small show business community, and quite frankly, some of those women are lying. I'll tell you that right now. Some of them are lying, trying to get publicity to help their careers or because they want to be in on something special. Or if it's that bad, then you call the police right then and there. Let's not wait 20 years and then come out with a bunch of tears and, you know, all of that.
Some celebrities, particularly in the black community, also stuck by him, including his on-screen wife from The Cosby Show.
Well, my initial reaction to the allegations was, someone has a vested interest in preventing Mr. Cosby's return to network television.
On daytime TV show The View, Whoopi Goldberg argued people shouldn't rush to judgment.
Because until you know if it's true, until you know that it's true, it's an allegation. That's all, that's what it is. So for me.
So many people in our community don't want to believe it because Cosby has been so big, such an icon, but such a positive role model for so many years, and we don't want to believe this is true. I don't want to believe this is true.
Lily Bernard, now a Los Angeles artist, was initially reluctant to come forward to tell her story.
So my coming forward meant that I would have to now contend with Black America. And how is Black America going to view me as a Black woman speaking out against an icon? We'd be illuminating another great Black man is a scoundrel. Right? And so what would that do for the image of the Black man? And that was a burden to bear. Like, I felt like I was gonna be crucified. I felt like, wow, that my own Black community was gonna crucify me. But what started happening was that all of these women are coming forward. I'm just gonna be silent. I'm not gonna say anything. So I felt internally conflicted, and I felt this urge thinking like I have to speak.
On May the 15th, 2015, Lily broke 25 years of silence.
I walk into a room and there's just like 20 pressed cameras and microphones here and 20 over here and with this little platform, and I'm like, oh, wow, I'm gonna do this.
After he had won my complete trust and admiration, he drugged and raped me.
During that press conference, I'm crying, you know, and I'm hyperventilating. I can't catch my breath. It was the first time I talked about the rape publicly.
His last words to me were, "As far as I'm concerned, Bernard, you're dead. Do you hear me? You're dead, Bernard. You don't exist."
Actor Joseph Phillips is sitting on a front stoop.
Joseph Phillips had worked with Lily on The Cosby Show. They were good friends.
It began to be harder and harder to defend more and more people coming out. People I knew came forward and said things. I said, this is different. I know her, and I know she's not crazy. And I know she doesn't need anything. And yet, she's saying some things happened. It took that for me to finally say, I think he's guilty. It was the rug being pulled out from under me because I loved him and felt, and just the amount of respect I had for him, and I felt cheated. I felt lied to. He was America's dad.
Bill Cosby's reputation was now in tatters, but he had never been charged with any crime. Under the US statute of limitations, all the alleged incidents had occurred too long ago. All except one. The alleged sexual assault of Andrea Constant in 2004.
Mary Claire Dale.
I remember thinking, you know, let's go back and look at the 2004 case and see if there's anything more we can glean from it. And as I looked, I realized, I think that's the only time he ever had to give testimony under oath. And to me, the critical thing was, it doesn't matter to me what Bill Cosby's agent says in front of the camera, quite frankly, or what Bill Cosby says in a celebrity magazine. What I care about is, what did he say under oath?
A window-fronted tall building.
During the civil case brought against him in 2005, Cosby had given 4 days of confidential testimony to Andrea Constant's lawyers. Mary Claire Dale and the Associated Press now went to court to see if they could have Cosby's secret deposition released.
Mary Claire heading into the courthouse.
Mr. Cosby's lawyers argued that this is a private matter and that it would be very embarrassing for Mr. Cosby that he has the right to privacy. And the Associated Press argued that he had asserted himself into the public conversation, that he really had a diminished right to privacy because he wasn't just Joe Citizen. He is a celebrity. He is a celebrity who preaches to the rest of us about morality and behavior and conduct.
The judge decided that Cosby's years of public moralizing negated his right to privacy. He ruled in favor of Mary Claire and released Cosby's testimony.
The printed deposition.
There were patterns that emerged, you know. There was patterns where he offered to mentor somebody, offered to give somebody a small part in his show. They were often very young. And acknowledging that he then had some level of sexual activity with them.
The word quaaludes in the testimony.
He testified that he had given pills, quaaludes, to women with the intent to have sex with those women.
Victoria Valentino.
It was just unbelievable. Because there he was actually saying it. So nobody could say to us what they had been saying, that we were gold diggers, that we were whores, that we were just out to bring this good black man down. You know, this was true because we heard it in his own words.
the words Quaaludes unconscious and sex in the testimony.
So it was a very different man than the sort of morality that he advertises in his public life. And people reacted very strongly to that.
Beth Ferrier stands looking out over a city. Victoria Valentino gives a small smile, and Lily Bernard maintains a grim expression. Whoopi Goldberg on a chat show.
As the evidence mounted, even those who had previously appeared to defend Cosby now abandoned him.
If this is to be tried in the court of public opinion, I gotta say, all of the information that's out there kind of points to guilt.
The evidence revealed in Cosby's testimony was key. It convinced prosecutors to re-examine their decision not to charge him in 2005 for the alleged assault of Andrea Constant. A view strengthened by the number of accusers who had now come forward.
So it's not a she said, he said. It'll be a he said, she said, she said, she said, she said, she said, she said.
Breaking news, for the first time, Bill Cosby has been criminally charged with aggravated indecent assault. This is a sexual assault charge.
Bill Cosby has been charged with 3 counts of indecent sexual assault. If found guilty, he faces up to 10 years in prison.
Cosby walking out of the courthouse.
Everything that he built over his entire fantastic career, the philanthropy, his support of education, opening doors for black directors, black cameramen, et cetera, et cetera. There's that legacy of Bill Cosby that is now tarnished, is threatened.
It's heartbreaking. Guilt or innocent, it's just heartbreaking. Because he was a great man, and I want to say he still is a great man.
A younger Bill Cosby being photographed.
When America's dad turns out to be a predator, you know, it's like losing a monument or something. That doesn't change that the Cosby Show is one of the most important parts of television history. You know, I think the importance of Bill Cosby's work doesn't change.
It's the vehicle that Bill Cosby used as a smokescreen to disguise his criminality, to divert the world from knowing that he's nothing but a low-down, dirty, lying coward who is wreaking havoc upon women's lives. So that's all the Cosby Show was. That's all his philanthropy, that's all of his moralizing and his giving of millions of dollars was a smokescreen, a diversion.
You can't get away with this crap forever. You can't. It comes back on you sooner or later. And I'm grateful that it has.
Bill Cosby has pleaded not guilty to all charges in the Andrea Constant case. He has neither denied or declined to comment in relation to all other allegations.
Thank you.